Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for staying late on this Wednesday of Tech Ed Europe 2012. So, welcome. If you're looking for the session on exploring page layouts in SharePoint 2010 WCM sites, this is the right session. This is a 300-level session, and we're going to be talking primarily about page layouts. We're gonna pop open code. We're gonna talk a little bit about how you make page layouts and what goes into page layouts. So hopefully everybody here is you know. Do we have some developers in the audience? Any developers? Show of hands. All right.
Wow.
Awesome. So there's going to be a lot of good content for all you folks, but if you're not a developer, that's okay. There's going to be lots of good information for everybody. But before we get started, we wanted to set the stage to just kind of explain a little bit about how things used to be in content management, or before there really was such a thing as content management. Whenever you had HTML sites at your organization where they were mostly static files that lived on file servers, and any time you needed to make any type of changes, those changes were done manually. So it might be you might have somebody make a request to you to make a change, and you may have to manually upload that change via FTP, and you might have to manually do the same change over and over and over again. And often in organizations, a single person was the bottleneck. So if there was any problems, this one person would be the one responsible for making all the changes and would quickly become too busy to really do things efficiently. So if we look forward to today, there's a lot of examples out there of content management systems that have been created that allow you to that put the control of the content in the hands of the users that create it. So SharePoint is a great example of an enterprise web content management solution that allows your users to go in, manage, create, and update their content, and then publish it themselves. So you as developers or administrators can go ahead, set the parameters, get it configured, and set the rules and boundaries and governance policies, and then your users can go in and create this content. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is going to be how to create that and the role that page layouts play in that whole process. But when we talk about web content management and what's referred to in SharePoint as publishing, the content that you will see that is entered throughout your SharePoint environment in these publishing sites is going to live in page layouts. So overwhelmingly, you're going to see more. Every page that you see is pretty much going to have a page layout associated with it. So kind of before we get too far into this presentation, thought it'd be a good idea to introduce ourselves. My name is John Ross. I'm the custom solutions lead at Rackspace. If you're not familiar with Rackspace, they're a hosting provider. But we also do SharePoint services and consulting. I'm a SharePoint MVP, and I've also contributed to a couple books. You can feel free to take a look at my blog, as well as follow me on Twitter. And I'm from all the way over in Orlando, Florida, in the United States, where Disney World is and other wonderful things for you to come and visit.
It's a good, what, 6 hours?
Eight hours,
yeah, okay. So I'm Randy Driscoll. I'm the branding design lead at Rackspace. Both of us used to work for a little company called SharePoint 911. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of us, but we were acquired by Rackspace recently, and so that's why now Rackspace does SharePoint services as well as hosting. I worked on a few books, same books as John, but the topics we're going to be talking about in this are sort of related to branding and sort of not, but the topic of page layouts, we have a whole section in the book on page layouts, so if you want to go further into the topic after this session, you can check out the books. Check out my blog as well. I have various, as I learn things, I try to put them up there, so it's a good place to kind of figure out what I've been learning recently.
Yeah, Randy is also from Orlando, Florida. We're sort of unique in the SharePoint space in that we live very close to each other, and we don't work in the same office, but we do spend a lot of time together talking about SharePoint and things. So before we get started, this presentation is broken up into a few sections, and the first section talks about page layouts themselves and just a general introduction to what page layouts are. And the idea of a page layout was introduced in SharePoint Server 2007. So if you had to have the version of SharePoint that cost money, which is the licensed version, SharePoint Server 2007. And you, in order to take advantage of it, you needed to make sure publishing was enabled on your site collection. So once you did that, the page layouts themselves, you can think of them as a template for the content that's being created by your users. So you set up the fields and the areas where people can put content into, and you could have one template or one page layout that many pieces of content across your organization are based on. So out of the box, there's the idea of, say, the article page or the article left or whatever whatever you prefer. But that's one page layout that many pieces of content could be created, and it'd be possible for you to create your own custom page layouts that content would be created from. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But when we think about web content management itself, people often talk about the ABCs of content management. And so the A stands for authoring. And the idea of authoring, and as it relates to page layouts, refers to this idea of enforcing the standards and governance around the entry point for where the content is being created. So the page layouts provide that interface that your users are going to be using, and it's a structured interface so that people can enter the fields and types of content. You can define the types of data that are going to go in it to help enforce some of those standards that you might have across your organization. The B refers to branding, and in this case, we're talking about the look and feel. And Randy is going to talk a lot about that and how that relates to it, but the idea of enforcing this common look and feel across your organization throughout page layouts is very important. When we think about any type of custom branded site, and we think about the home page, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but whenever we do any type of custom site, page layouts are a significant part of the discussion that we consider whenever we're planning and designing everything out. Yep. The C stands for controlled publishing, which is the idea that page layouts are the place that you enter your content, the various different types of data that you're going to enter them in. And then once you enter that content, SharePoint has a mechanism, a workflow publishing process that would allow you to make sure that content does not show up to users until it is properly approved. So if you use regular SharePoint Foundation, the example there would be any type of changes that you make to the page. As soon as you save it, those changes are immediately viewed by everybody. In publishing, in web content management on SharePoint, you have to go through the process of making sure a page layout is published or is approved and published first before it will show up to everybody. So as I've said before, web content management in SharePoint, page layouts are overwhelmingly the backbone of web content management. You're going to see more pages created from page layouts than anything else. So here, what we're looking at is an example of what you might see in a typical any page. Yeah. And so at the top, we've got the master page. And often, whenever Randy and I are doing presentations on branding, we focus very heavily on the master page. And at the top, that's where you have the navigation, the header, the search box, and then the footer at the bottom. But today we're going to be focused on the page layout, which is in the center of the page, which occupies the largest visual area usually in most pages. And that's where we have different pieces of content, such as the title and the page content in the center. Those are referred to as field controls, which we're going to talk about a little bit more later. We got a page image, which is another field control, different content type of content. And then over at the right, we've added a web part zone. So just wanted to show you an example of what it is that we're talking about and the type of structures that that we might typically see. So now Randy's going to go over and
I'll try to do a little demo here.
He's going to do a quick demo of the page layout experience.
Is he up there? Yep. All right, so here's sort of out of the box SharePoint experience here. I've got a publishing site here, and this has got a page layout applied to it. But if we go ahead and create a new page real quick, we can kind of understand the process a little better. So if I do like TechEd Europe, hit create. when we get a new page in a publishing site, you can see it's got like pages in the URL. That tells us that this is a publishing page. You know, we can start editing stuff. We could say like, hello world. You know, we get kind of like the Word editing experience, so we can like pump this up to a higher font, etc. But the interesting thing here is we can go in the ribbon to this page tab here. And what you get here is a page layout dropdown. And so this consists of the out-of-the-box page layouts as well as page layouts that I've added into the site here. And so if we pick image on left, it kind of reconfigures it. And we have different options here. And we have these field controls that we can enter certain things. And it's sort of controlled as to what we can put in there. Like in this one, we can put a date. And this one, we can put a you know, a byline. And in this one, we can put an image. And we can't just put any content we want. We you know, whoever created this page layout decided, you know, what fields we were going to have and which ones we could pick from and that kind of thing. So here I'm going to go ahead and try to add an image in here. And I have a bunch picked out here, pictures of my my coworkers. And if we go over here to Laura, Laura Rogers, and we'll pick her. And we hit OK. It kind of adds her to the page, right? If I hit save, you can see what it looks like outside of edit mode. You can see all the editing controls have changed. But you know, if we click edit again, I can click the page tab and I can change the page layout again to image on right. You can see that it just reconfigures it and puts her image on the right. So all the, if all the field controls are the same, it's just going to reuse them in a different context or whatever. And if we, you know, we could pick from a bunch of various ones here. So that's, I'm sure most people have already seen that, but that's sort of just a demo of the basics. And we'll get into, you know, making our own in a little bit here.
Yeah, so the idea with a page layout is that you've got several fields of data, and the page layout helps you visualize that information in different ways, and we can take that same information and actually visualize it in several different ways, yep, depending on what our needs are. So as we kind of move forward in the page layout discussion, one of the things that's very important to understand is, you know, we talked a little bit about what is a page layout, but we need to actually take a step back further from an ASP.NET perspective. So for some of you developers, yeah, we're going to kind of...
Yeah, we get a little bit go backwards here. And the reason why we do this is when I got started with SharePoint, you know, we both worked at the same company. We got thrown on a SharePoint project. Many of you maybe get thrown on a SharePoint project out of nowhere. And, you know, they're like, okay, go make some page layouts and some master pages and figure this out. But I didn't really, I actually didn't have experience with ASP.NET. I was just a traditional web developer. I did PHP, Cold Fusion, that kind of stuff. And so I jumped in and I'm like, okay, I don't understand anything about what's happening here. And so to understand page layouts, you need to understand what they're based on, which is, you know, like we said earlier, a page layout is a template for content or whatever, right? So if we look at just a content page in ASP.NET, if you were to load one up, it's going to have an ASPX extension on it. And if you look at the source, which we'll see one in a second, it refers to the master page at the top with a at page directive. And so in this case, the example there is, you know, it's got the at page directive. It says language is C#, and master page file is demo.master, right? And so let's say you hit home.aspx, right, and it calls demo.master. When your browser hits that, you know, it's going to look like you're hitting that one file, but really what's happening is the web server says, okay, I know I need to bring in a master page, in this case demo.master, and I'm going to combine the two. I'm going to make demo.master be like the Chrome of the site, and whatever is inside of the home.aspx file will be the content of the site. Put them both together. You as the end user, you just see one page. You don't realize that this happened, but in the background, this sort of thing is happening here. So here is a simple ASP.NET content page. Again, the top line we already described. But it's basically made up of two types of things, basically. We have these ASP content tags, right? And they each have a content placeholder ID. One of them is main body and one of them is footer. Then they both say run at server. That just tells ASP.NET that it needs to do something. And then in the middle of each of those, there's content. And one says hello world, and one says I'll override the footer content. And what you need to see here is the content placeholder IDs are pointing to areas of the master page where this content will be injected. And so if we look at the next one, this is a simple ASP.NET master page. And if you know anything about HTML, you'll see in there's a lot of just typical HTML in there. They have the at directive at the top saying it's a master page. We've got doc types. We've got meta tags, titles, body. Then there's the form run at server, tells the code to run, you know, in ASP.NET. And then you'll see we have two content placeholders. One of them called main body, one of them called footer, just like the content tags we saw before. And so the content that was in the first one is going to be injected into main body. And in this case, main body didn't have any default content. So if we didn't inject anything, it was just going to be blank. But the second one there already has content in it. It says copyright 2012 Randy Driscoll. And that's going to be overridden by what was in that ASP, by what's in that content file. And so I was going to run a demo on this, but it's kind of boring. If you know what it's going to look like in HTML, it's just going to be two lines. So instead, I have the source of what comes back. So if you were to hit this this content page, it's going to put the two of those things together. And so what you see here is the resulting HTML of what happens when you combine the two. You get all of the stuff that was in that master page. And there's a few other things that ASP is injecting in there. But then you see it says hello world. That was injected from the page. And then you'll see I will override the footer content is injected into the second div. And so that's the basic concept here, is that these two things are working together to sort of display what's on the page. And so those content placeholders that you saw on there are very important when we start thinking about SharePoint world. Because if you have a content placeholder listed in your page that is not listed in your master page, like if it refers to one that doesn't exist in your master page, you're going to get a big fat error. And so you're going to want to make sure that you don't have any that are called in your page that aren't showing in your master page. The same thing will apply to page layouts in SharePoint. And so the opposite, though, is not true. If you have content placeholders listed in your master page, you don't have to use them all in your pages, right? So your master page might list 30 content placeholders. You only use two of them in your pages. That's totally fine. No error gets thrown there. And so when we get into the SharePoint world, you'll see that SharePoint has a lot of content placeholders. So you'll have a lot of, you know, areas where things get injected.
Well, I think this is one of the more important slides that we have in a lot of our presentations, really, because when we talk about branding and SharePoint and the types of things that cause people who are new to branding or even new to creating page layouts, this might be one of the dealing with content placeholders might be one of the most difficult things, and that's why we tend to spend a little bit more time.
It can be confusing. So here now we're going to talk about actual page layouts in SharePoint. And so what's different about a page layout? We said earlier that it's a template for creating content pages, right? So it's going to be similar to them. They also have a .aspx extension. But instead of just living wherever in IIS, they live in something called the Master Page Gallery, which, if you could tell by the name, that's where all your master pages live as well. So you might think, well, how do I know the difference? Well, master pages have a .master extension. Page layouts have a .aspx extension. Now, another important thing to know about page layouts is they're based on a content type. So if you ever created a list, you know, they sometimes have a content type. They always have a content type. But, you know, that's sort of, you're understood that when you create a list, you know, each of the columns are based on the what's in that content type or whatever, right? Well, the same concept applies to page layouts. They're based on those same content types. The other difference is you can create them in a number of different ways. You could upload it with the web interface, but that's sort of clunky. Or you can use something like SharePoint Designer, which helps you kind of create the page layout. And you'll see in a demo later when we make one that it kind of helps us along with the process. And then the last sort of note there is that if you saw on my page before, I called demo.master at the top. Well, in a page layout, that's not the case. You don't refer to one master page. It just applies the master page that's applied to your site to that page, basically. And so here is a simple SharePoint page layout. This is what happens if you say create new page layout in SharePoint Designer. This is what it creates for you. And you'll see it looks a lot like the content page we saw before. It has the page directive at the top, only now we have all this other stuff up there. We have it inherits from publishing page layout. We have a tag prefix that's all registered. And those are all bringing in the controls that make SharePoint work, right? When we edited that page and we saw an editable field, that was brought in through this code that's being brought in at the top. And then we have two content tags again. In this case, they refer to placeholder page title and placeholder main. And those are specific things in our SharePoint master page that Microsoft created when they made SharePoint or whatever. And then, actually, go back real quick. And then you'll see in there, and instead of just having just regular text, there is a web control in there. And so really what that is just like one of these fields we saw when I edited the page earlier. And so that's what's being injected in this case. The text of the page title is being injected into where the HTML would normally show the page title. So now you can go on. So this slide doesn't nearly show all of the SharePoint master page, but the point I wanted to drive across here is that SharePoint master pages are big, right? They have a lot of content. I think v4.master has like 600, 700 lines of code in it. A lot more complicated than that master page that I showed you earlier. And so that's what kind of makes some of this tricky, is that you're dealing with what Microsoft created, right? And they had to put a lot of stuff in there to make SharePoint do what it does. And if you like scan in there, you can see there's HTML and all that. But again, it brings in all these controls that make SharePoint work. And then you'll see in there, there's a content placeholder, right? The ID is placeholder page title, like in the previous thing. And you can see it's in the title tag of the HTML page. So in this case, whatever is the title of the page is going to appear, like if you saw at the top of your browser where the title is. That's how that's going to get injected. And there'll be more of them in there. And you know, that's why sometimes when you're creating things in SharePoint, you go like, why did this show up right there? I don't know why this thing is appearing right here. It's most likely because there's a content placeholder there. And that page you're hitting, like let's say it's in a blog site or something, is injecting something into that placeholder that you maybe weren't expecting. And so that's sort of why it's tricky. So what can page layouts contain? Again, like I told you before, they have page directives at the top that register stuff. But then essentially, everything that you're going to put in a page layout has to be in one of those ASP content areas. And that's the same thing as in an ASP.NET page as well. So if you put something outside of those areas, you're going to get an error. So you have to put them. The only thing they do is inject things into content placeholders, basically. And so what can you put in those? HTML for formatting. So if you wanted to do some branding, you want to make columns with divs or a table, you want to like colorize things with styles and that kind of thing, you can put all that in there. And then the two kind of specific things that you can do for SharePoint is you can put field controls, which are those editable areas you saw on the page, and web parts, which we'll get into a little bit later, but essentially you all know what web parts are. You can just put any web part you want into these web part zones.
So just a few examples of how are page layouts used. And, you know, Randy's done a good job of talking about page layouts and what they are and, you know, their how they relate from ASP.NET. But when we think of page layouts and we're planning out an entire implementation, part of what we'll do is we'll think about the overall structure for the site and the type of contents that people are looking to do. And then we'll think about, you know, the different areas of the site where and what type of page layouts would be used in those different areas of the site. So example would be the landing page for your website, whether that's the home page for your intranet or the home page for your public-facing internet site. Those are all, you know, we have to think about the way that we set up those page layouts a little bit differently from everything else. Otherwise, you know, for general content entry, across your organization, you're going to be creating content all over the place. So what type of page layout or page layouts would you use for that?
Right.
Then we also have custom scenarios that that could be a little bit more involved than either of those first two examples. So the idea that maybe we have custom fields for your organization. Maybe your company is into manufacturing, and whenever you upload information, the page layouts need to be tagged with different products or catalog information.
Right.
So custom fields, things like that, are one way. The other would be if your organization wants to more leverage the content management capabilities, and you need to make sure that information is tagged appropriately so that it could roll up to certain areas. Perhaps you've got you have a company that is working on with various industries, and maybe different information will be you want it to be tagged to the appropriate industries so that you could go maybe to an industry specific page and see all the related information from that industry. Just, you know, that's just kind of one quick example. Or perhaps you wanted to put a web part onto the page that was more dynamic in nature. And we're going to talk about all of these things a little bit later. This idea about how we can do these custom scenarios are going to be the demos that we're going to go through, throughout the rest of the session. So what I wanted to show an example of here was some custom page layouts that we had actually done recently, because I think they're really good examples of custom page layouts. And so over here on the left-hand side, you can see this is a modified and customized page layout that's based on article page. So we've got title, we've got some other information, some other metadata at the top there. We've got the page content in the main section right here. And then over at the right-hand side, we've got an image that we've added with an image byline. And then we've actually got an embedded web part that's showing, it shows a content editor web part which has been customized to show related stories to whatever this article happened to be about. And then we've also actually added some social features into the page layout. So we're adding tagging and ratings. So just wanted to show an example of kind of a little bit different thinking on page layouts. And then at the right hand side, we've got another example from the same company, where this is a more country specific page that you can see we have about 5 page layouts that the user can navigate through in sort of a tabbed interface. But you know, there's lots of different ways. I mean, what we showed you was a very content centric example, but page layouts also tend to be the landing page for public internet sites. So if anybody has public sites, or maybe you have a very custom intranet. You know, what you're looking at, part of this is a master page, but then the center of the page is all driven through a custom page layout and how they, you know, we wanted to show an example of something. This is a SharePoint site.
We did not create this site, but we think it's a cool looking site. So
we just wanted to show something that doesn't look anything like SharePoint and describe, you know, the role that it plays, the page layouts play. And the same thing with this site from a pen manufacturer called Sharpie. They're again very non. It doesn't look anything like SharePoint, but the center of this page is driven by a custom page layout. So normally, when we get to this point of with a customer and they come to us and they tell us what you know they want to make a website, whether it's internal or external, we go through a quick process where we try to determine you know what is it that we need, how do we do that, and so. The way that we start thinking about this is, like I said, we think about, you know, the overall structure. And we'll call that structure of the organization of the various SharePoint entities and objects. We refer to that as the information architecture. And so what we like to talk about that is I like to say, you know, when we come out and someone tells me what it is that they're trying to do, they'll tell me their business objective. And then they'll tell me the types of content that they have and how they need that to be shown across their organization. And we'll create an information architecture, a structure where we can kind of understand how the different pieces of content fit, what type of data do they need, and things like that. And then once we determine what type of content they need, where it needs to come up, I mean that really starts building the foundation of our structure. But an important note on this is that your users don't really care so much about about the structure that you create in SharePoint. What they want is they want it to be easy to use and highly usable. And so we can do whatever structure we create that makes the most sense to SharePoint. We can create a structure for our users that's easy to navigate.
You don't want your users to have to think about
correct
using the site. That's your job with the information architecture.
So a lot of times when we talk about information and I talk information architecture and I also talk about structure and everything, we'll talk about how information architecture relates to taxonomy. Well, if information architecture is the organization of the SharePoint objects, taxonomy is the organization of the data and content itself. So we think about taxonomy in two different ways. Developers a lot of times will think about the taxonomy structure, which is the classification of the data and content, the metadata and things like that. These are the data points and how they relate to the different types of things that we're capturing. That's the taxonomy structure. The other way to think about it, if there's any designers that are in here, they often think about the taxonomy view, which is the structure that is presented visually to the user. And so the reason why all of this is important is when we're planning out a structure, in order to make it highly usable and make it work the way that it needs to, we have to think about all of these things together. You can't just think about, just your information architecture or just your taxonomy, your structure or your view.
Right.
They've all got to work together. And so, you know, to make something that will function the way it needs to, but also work the way that it needs to as well and be highly usable. So This is just my a very basic example of kind of how we would come up and think about something like this. So this is my basic SharePoint intranet. We've got a home page. We've got a couple division pages, which, and then underneath one division, we may have a couple departments. That one, perhaps a business requirement we could have would be the department one would create content, news items or something down in department one, and they want, when they create that information in this site down here, they want it to automatically roll up to the division page and to the home page and be displayed on the home page and in the division page, kind of in a web part in the center here.
John's very proud of that animation, by the way. Did you guys think it was good?
So this is sort of the type of thing that we think about. This is a very basic scenario. So if you take this scenario and multiply it times several times, this is sort of what we go through in trying to think about what type of data do we need to have in the page layout that exists down here so that when people fill it out, that we can make sure that it shows up in the right place when we want. So what type of, you know, web part do we need? What type of configuration? What type of page layout?
What kind of field controls do we need? Do we need that to be an image field or a text field or a date field?
So, I mean, these are kind of very common scenarios that we go through, and now we're going to talk a little bit about how you would go through and how you would create these things yourself.
So we needed our real-world example, right? And I use my air quote real-world because we have a fake company here named Syrup and Bacon Breakfast Consultants, and if any of you have seen our book or whatever, I'm fascinated with breakfast, and so syrup and bacon are some of my favorite things. So we created this fake company that they go around the world and they taste food and breakfast and they give advice on how to make breakfast better or whatever. And so they have a branded SharePoint site already. You can see it over there on the right. You'll see it again in the demo in a little bit. And, you know, it's fully branded. It has a rotator and news roll-ups and all this kind of stuff. And it's got the navigation and photo and everything. But the company wanted to publish various types of articles. So blogs, events, news, articles, etc. And they wanted to track those articles with metadata. So they wanted to tag them as what they are, blog, article, etc. And then they want to create some roll-ups that will show those information on like a landing page or something like that. And so this is a screenshot of what we're going to be creating. It actually looks a little bit different than this. But you know, it's going to have a landing page that shows the different types of articles. You're going to click through it and it's going to filter based on what the metadata field is or whatever. So
And as we go through this, each example that we go through, we're going to show you a few demos. The first demo starts off with the most basic, yep, the most basic foundation. We'll continue to build on it until we get to the final.
Exactly.
Final product.
So if we need to have a page layout that's going to have metadata on it, right? Because we're going to track metadata, so we need a field that's going to collect metadata. And there's, you know, we can use an article page layout like one of the ones out of the box like I used before when I created that page with Laura on it. But we're going to have to add a metadata field to it. And the way you do that is by creating a content type. And so you can create a content type based on another one. And so we'll just inherit from the article content type. And then we're going to add a column to that. We're going to add a metadata column. And so if you see here in this little crude drawing here, it kind of shows you how every column that's in your content type becomes a field control that you can use in your page layout. You don't have to use them all, but you have them available to you. And so if you wanted to create a brand new page layout, you could inherit from page, which would just have title and a date and a few other things. But if you wanted to have something that looked like a welcome page or an article page already, you could inherit from one of those existing ones, like article page or welcome page. And you'd get all of those columns, and thus you'd have all these field controls that you can use in your own page layout.
Well, the important thing, though, is to remember that even if you have more fields in your content type, you don't necessarily have to use all of them in your page.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you don't. And you can see that I won't use them all in the demo in a second. So I think that's where we go. So this is what we're going to create. I'll just show you it in the demo here in a second. So if we flip over to the demo thing. You see that? Yep. Okay, so here's our fully branded SharePoint site, right? And, you know, this is the home page or whatever. It's rolling up Twitter articles and has a rotator and all that kind of thing. But if we click on articles here, this is sort of what we're going to be creating here. And so in this case, we're rolling up information and we're filtering it. So like if I click, right now we're seeing all of them. But if I click on upcoming events, it's only going to show me the events ones. If I click on news, it's only going to show me the news. press releases, et cetera. And then when I click on one, I'm going to go through to that actual article, and I'm going to see it. And in this case, it's also going to roll up related articles here to the right. And so that's what we're going to try to create that right here. And so since we're going to have to have a content type for that, right? I already created one so that I could have those pages that I just showed you, and we're going to base it off of that, right? And so if I go, I actually have to go up to the top because content types live at the top of a site collection. So if I go to site settings here and I go to site content types, you can see that right here I have a custom one that I've created. It's based on article page. When I click on it, you'll see here that a lot of this stuff is inherited. So all these are columns that it's inheriting that we can use as field controls. And then I added one called demo metadata right here that's of type managed metadata. Now if I click on it and I go to edit site column, you'll see here that this is what I had to do to create it here. I gave it a name and I put it in the custom columns. And then down here, I just said it was of type metadata. And then I already had a metadata field here that's got articles, blogs, events. You can't really see them all right here. But I just said that's the metadata field that it's going to use, so I could pick from those things. And I could have it so that they can add new ones if I wanted to, et cetera, but I didn't do that. And so imagine that we already have one created that's called it's called demo article metadata, right? So now if we want to create a page layout based on that, we could do it in SharePoint Designer here. And so I already have this open to my site collection. And when you open it up, you see all this various information here. But over on the left in this navigation tab under site objects, what we can do is we can click on page layouts, right? And that shows us all the page layouts that are in the master page gallery. And if I want to create a new one up here in the ribbon, I just go new page layout. And it kind of already picks the most recent one, which is handy. And then I can call it something. I prefix mine with lay for whatever reason. And then I could say like TechEd Europe. And then I could say TechEd Europe. PL. And so what this is going to be the name of the file, and this is what's going to show up when I pick from that page layout picker I showed you before. And when we click OK, it'll think for a second, and it's going to bring up exactly what I showed you is a simple page layout before. And it's not very tabbed out very well, so I like to go in here and tab it out a little better. And then over here on the right, in the toolbox, here are all the field controls that I have available to me, which are all based on site columns, like we said before. And so, if I drag, let's see, if I make a little room right here, I could drag over page content. And that's like your basic, just enter in content, and whatever you enter will show up on the page kind of field. And then I can say, put a little tiny bit of branding in here and say, make a break tag. Make a second one. Like that, and then we got some space right there. And then right here, you can see here's my metadata tag. And if I drag this over here, it adds it to the page layout right here. And then you can see here, it actually added a registration here to bring in this SharePoint taxonomy. Every once in a while, you'll run into an issue where it doesn't add that for some reason. And so you'll just need to grab it from an example one or Google it or whatever. But essentially, you just need to call in this registration. I don't know why sometimes it doesn't add it. This time it did. It's sort of random or whatever. But there we have one, right? So now if I save this, we've saved the file. But no one's going to be able to use it until I check it in and I publish it and I approve it. And that's just how page layouts work. You have to approve it one time at least before even you're going to be able to see it. And so if I click back on page layouts here, you can see there's that lay TechEd Europe that I created. If I click on it kind of next to it, we can click up here and we can do check in. We can do publish a major version, because that's what we want to do. We want to have one major version at least before we start doing stuff. And you'll see here it says this requires approval. And so I say yes. And for whatever reason, it opens into a web page instead of being in SharePoint Designer. And in this case, you'll see there's one pending right here, Lay TechEd Europe. They took out the extension or whatever. We click this blue arrow, and then you'll see here I can do various things to it. In this case, I'm going to approve it. And I click approved. And then at this point, I actually have a page layout that I can use. And so if I go over to articles, and I go new page, and I say TechEd Europe demo 2, and I create it, thinks for a second, and then it starts off in the default page layout. And if I click on the page tab, if all went well, we click the page layouts thing, and you'll see here's TechEd Europe PL. That's the page layout that I just created in that demo. And when I click it, the page sort of reconfigures. We have an area where I can enter in test info or whatever I want to say for like the page content. We can make it bigger right there, like that. And then in this metadata field, I can just click this guy here, and I could pick from these, blog, event, news, press, or I could just type it in. I can just start saying like BL, and then it says, oh, you get a blog. And so at that point, I've got the metadata field on there, right? And if I hit save, you actually see both. You see test info and blog. But what if I wanted to make it so that you only saw that metadata field when it was in edit mode? What I can do from there is if I go back to SharePoint Designer, now I need to check out this file before I can edit it again. Because if I try to edit it right now and I try to save it, it's going to kind of say, hey, you got to check that out. So I could select it and I can click checkout. And now, once it thinks for a second, now I'm able to actually edit that file again. And so what I could do here is I have a little bit of code that I already have in here. And we'll publish this up into a blog post or something so that people can grab it. But it's an edit mode panel. And if I put it around this field control right here, what it's going to do is it's going to say only in edit mode am I going to see what's in the middle of it. So in this case, only when it's in edit mode will we see that metadata field. So if I hit save, and because of the way page layouts work, if we had 50 pages created with this, right, when I go back here and I hit refresh, all of them are going to update because they're based on that page layout. And so if I hit edit, you can see, oh, there's the metadata field. But if I hit save, it kind of goes away and is hidden. And so that's sort of your basic first kind of example of what you can do here.
And there's a lot of different practical applications for things like this. You know, if you wanted to, use a similar approach for doing SEO information. If you have a public-facing website and you want to make sure that you're getting the appropriate metadata that that the search engines care about, you could put that in a hidden panel so that your users wouldn't necessarily be seeing something like that.
Exactly. So we can switch back. We'll switcher things very complicated. I let John touch this with it.
So, we just talked about field controls and the role that the field controls play. But, you know, the other way that you can get content in the page would be to add content via web parts. And one of the primary ways that we would use to get a web part on the page would be using a web part zone. A web part zone itself is it allows your content authors and the people who are managing the content to access the web part gallery and drag them into the various zones on the page so they can add the web parts that make the most sense for the type of information that they're tracking. But it's important to keep in mind, especially from a public or from a publishing standpoint, that the content that you're creating that lives in that would be in page layouts is not versioned. So if you happen to be creating a site and you're thinking about all of the different pages and page layouts that you need to create, I've had customers that have said that have created page layouts which are basically just web part zones in various configurations, and then they've said, I can just add the web parts I need, put the content on the page, whatever I need. That way I never have to change page layouts. Right. And the challenge with that is that although it does work, the problem is that any of that content, if you ever, in the web parts, if you ever wanted to change it or revert back to an old version, it's not possible.
There's no history on it.
There's no history of content that's stored in web parts. Specifically, we're talking about the content editor web part.
But controls do have history, so that's the benefit of leaving it in the field control.
So as you're planning out your environment, you want to strike a good balance between your web part zones and your field controls, so it's important to kind of have both to give you the flexibility as well as the versioning of your content. But one of the most common web parts that we use, especially in publishing sites, is the content query web part, which allows you to go ahead and create it has an interface where you can go in and set filters that will roll up the content that you might be looking to roll up to whatever the site is.
It allows you to query information on your site, basically.
So in order to get access to the content query web part, you need to make sure that, publishing is enabled. And then it allows you to roll up lists and pages throughout your site collection. That's another important thing to consider, is that if you do have a larger environment that has multiple site collections, that you would only be able, by default, would only be able to roll up content within the single site collection.
Right.
If you did have a need, which is very common, where you need to roll up content across site collections, there are third-party web parts that you could go out and purchase, or as a developer, you could go in and extend the content query web part to roll up a cross-site collection. From a development perspective, the SharePoint object model does support the ability to roll up a cross-site collection. I would just say it definitely works. I would just make sure from a performance perspective that you're careful that you're not creating queries that are causing poor performance. So just keep that in mind.
You're going to bog down your server with thousands of queries.
But once you set up a query with the content query web part, the results are displayed via XSLT. So if you were interested in getting some more information about creating custom content query web parts, like on the Syrup and Bacon homepage that we showed, we had some custom content query web parts on there that were displayed and rendering content in very different ways that look very different. If you're interested to get more information about how to do that, pull down the slide deck and you can take a look at this URL here that gives you a lot of the basics of how you would go about.
It's very hard to cover the concept of XSL in an hour and 15 minutes with the other stuff.
Yeah, so in Syrup and Bacon, we have the idea of wanting to use the previous page layout that we created so that we could roll things up tagged with different content.
Exactly. And so what we're going to do in this demo is exactly that. We're going to add a web part zone to our page layout, and then we're going to add a content query web part, and we're going to try to configure that to roll things up properly. So this is what it's going to look like. It's probably really hard to read across the thing or whatever, but when you see it in there, we're going to put the content query web part in there, and the key to this is going to be this additional filters section. That's where we're going to filter it based on that metadata that we put in before. So do the switcher thing.
Yeah, the additional filters is a new area. If you're familiar with SharePoint 2007, whenever you use 2010, it's another little area that was added.
And, right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add a little bit of quote-unquote branding or formatting to sort of make this page two columns. And I have some HTML here that I'm going to just copy and paste in there because I don't want to, like, typo things in front of this demo or whatever. But here we go. So we've got a div that's going to put stuff on the left and a div that's going to put stuff on the right. I'm going to select everything that we've already created, and I'm going to put it on the left side of the page. And so I have CSS that will already move this to the left. And then now we're going to use this right-hand area to put a web part zone. And the way you do that in SharePoint Designer is kind of interesting. You can't do it from the code view, which is my favorite view. You have to do it from the splitter design view. Why? I have no idea. But we're going to switch it over to the split design real quick. And then all we're going to do is sort of click in this right-hand area here. And then we're going to kind of say right here, insert at the top. And then when we click on that, we do insert, and we do web part, or we could put web part zone. In this case, we're going to put a zone. And when I click that, it does a few things. And I'll switch back to code to kind of show you what it did. It added a web part zone, gave it an ID and run at server and all that kind of stuff. I love when it does that. And then at the top here, it adds in this this web part manager, this SP proxy web part manager. And that just basically allows the page to know where the web parts are on the page. And so you don't have to worry about either of that. With those things added in there now, we've got a web part zone. And so if I hit save, I go back over here, I hit refresh, it might not look too terribly different, but when I put it in edit mode now, you'll see not only do we have a web part zone, but we also have two columns. So all the info we just added was on the left, and the web part zone's over here. And if I click add web part, it brings up all the different web parts we can pick from. We want content roll up, content query, and we're going to add it to zone 1, which is really the only zone we have anyways. We click add, it puts it on the page. We click this little divot right here, and then we say edit web part. And you'll see over here on the right, we get this is like our settings for that content query. And so the main thing you want is a query. And so in this case, we're going to show items from the following site and all subsites. We're going to click browse, and we're going to pick the site that I have created a bunch of these pages already, right? So what you didn't see behind the scenes was you imagine that I created 10 more of these pages that have that metadata in there, right? And so they're all live under Syrup articles. So I select that and click OK. And it sort of reconfigures the page real quick after you do that. And then we could do some things to kind of narrow it down so that it shows certain things. In this case, I only want to show things of the content type of custom content types, and then demo article metadata. So in that case, it's not going to roll up just generic articles that might be sitting in that site. It's only going to grab the demo article metadata types, page layouts, essentially. And then we could do some additional filters, but first I'm not going to apply them right away. And then I'm going to hit on presentation here. We could say we want to sort it in different ways. We want to group it in different ways. In this case, we're going to leave those the same. We could say we only want to see 5. We want to see 15. You can say how many you want to see. And here's where those XSL comes into. We're not going to get too far into that, but there's some already in there that we can pick from. And in this case, I'm going to pick title and description. And then right here, you can see here's all the fields that are going to display. And this is a little bit complicated for this demo, but in this case, where the description field is, instead of showing the comments field control, we're going to show byline, because that's where I actually put sort of a little bit of extra info on this article. It's going to show in my roll-up like that. And if I hit OK, it's going to add, it's going to sort of update. And you'll see there that now it's showing all of the articles that I've already created. I want to filter it based on the type of this existing page. And so the way we do that is in the Query tab, under Additional Filters, we're going to say, only show us the ones where the demo metadata field on this page is equal to the one on the rolled up page. And the way we do that is, if you ever forget the syntax for what I'm doing, it's in this little question mark here. If I click this question mark, it drops down. And that's where page field value is. That's the one I want. So I could just copy this as it stands right there, and I could paste it into here. And I have to get rid of this little dot, which is annoying. But essentially, you do bracket, page, field value, and then field name. And so we could name one of the fields right here. In this case, it's the exact same field, demo metadata. And so what it's doing is it's comparing the demo metadata field from the page we're looking at with the one that it's rolling up. And it's only going to show the ones where it matches. And then we need to do one other thing here, because it would show our same page twice. So we need to say, don't show us the ones where the title is equal to, and then we're going to use the same kind of syntax here, page field value. And in this case, we're going to say title. So don't show us the pages that have the same title as the current page I have. And then if we hit OK here, you should see that it's only going to roll up a few of them. Whoops, I guess I broke it. Let's see, what did I fix here? What did I mess up here? Nope, not there. Query. The syntax. What are they saying it is?
Yeah, there's a space. Is there a space right there?
Where?
Meeting spaces.
Demo metadata. Well, I could probably load one up that's already working or whatever, but this should work. But not equal to right there. Page field title, demo metadata is equal to. Those all look right. Let's see if we get anything better this time.
Well, there we go.
I guess it was just that one and or right there. So if I hit save, you can see it's only showing the blog ones right now because I kind of titled them like blog or whatever. If I hit edit, you'll see here, here's that metadata field. So if I change the page one to event, and I hit enter. And then when I hit save, you're going to see that the ones that are rolling up are going to change to events. So I hit save. Boom, now it's only showing events, right? And so that's how you could sort of use this to say, like, if you have one article, you may want to take people to articles that are related to it. And this is how you could do that.
Yeah, or an example of this would be in your environment, let's say you're product-based, project-based, whatever that happens to be, and you're creating information, maybe department-based. You could show related information from the same department. So there's many different ways that you can use this. And this happens to be one of the more common ways.
We use this a lot.
That we're using for our various clients. So this was
that was our demo.
This was what we just showed. So another thing that you can do, and to kind of expand on this example that we were showing, would be this idea where maybe you wanted to create a page that was a single landing page for, you know, I mentioned the idea of a department. So maybe you wanted to create a single page layout that, depending on what type of department came to that page, we could make all the information on the page display differently, just depending on what value was passed in the query string of the URL. So here in the bottom, we have an example of, you know, if you use a query string value, like in this case, we have rollup equals blog, but that could be whatever you want.
Right. You could call it like John's query string equals dog, cat, or whatever. In this case, it's saying only show me the ones where rollup equals blog.
So this gives you this is another one that we haven't used as much, but this is becoming more of a more common scenario where we have departments who want that idea of personalization, or this idea where we have, for departments or right. things where we can show dynamic content from multiple sources through one single page layout.
So now we're going to do a quick demo where we create that. And so I won't get too deep into it, but essentially what we've got here is the page I already showed you. When I clicked on these before, you may not have seen this or whatever, but what's happening here is if I click on recent news, it's sending over rollup equals news, kind of like what we showed in the deck there. When I click on events, it's saying rollup equals events. So all these are on the right are just simple HTML links, and if you can see like the little URL that's popping up, it's just passing in that field or whatever. And if I put this in edit mode, you can see kind of how it was created. And I won't go into like just creating one from scratch because we probably don't have a ton of time left. But if I click in here on the right and I click HTML, essentially this thing on the right is just a content editor web part. So it's just showing HTML or whatever typed content I have there. So if I hit edit HTML source, this is tabbed poorly, so it's maybe very hard to read. But all it is just HTML, just straight up regular HTML. A, and there's some style on it, and then an href. And then it's just going to the root of the site, going to syrup articles, pages, landing page.aspx, which is this page we're on. And then it's passing in rollup equals news. And the next one's passing in rollup equals event, et cetera, et cetera.
And this is the easy way to do it, that if you wanted to do something just relatively simplistic that didn't require any high-level development, this works just fine. But for other examples, you know, it'd be possible if you were a developer and you wanted to write some sort of custom control that could build that query string value for you,
you
could do something like that. Yeah, or you could even have it look up to, say, like a user profile value and pull out a value from a user profile value and do things that way. So lots of applications that you could potentially use this for.
So here we've got just another content query web part, a lot like the one that we walked through and built a second ago. But in this case, it's doing something slightly different. The query's pretty much exactly the same. It's hitting syrup articles, just like the other one was. It's bringing in the same content type, demo, article, metadata. And right here, you'll see where we start to change things a little bit. Here, we've got demo metadata, just like we did before, is equal to, and in this case, page query string, which is also in this little question mark. And you'll see here, if you read it, page query string is just basically you're going to filter based on what is sent in there. And in this case, I just put whatever text you want right there. And in this case, I called it rollup. You could have called it, you know, dog or cat, and then that would be the variable at the top that you're passing in. And so in this case, we call it rollup, so that's what it's going to look for. And it's going to match whatever we send in this text in rollup. It's going to try to match it with this demo metadata field control. And then the only kind of other big thing that's different in here is that we have a custom XSLT applied to it. And so where is that at? Right here. In the styles, I've created my own XSLT, which essentially is just going to put the image on the left, it's going to put the title right there, and it's going to put the description kind of underneath of it. So it puts a little bit of styling, and it makes the title bigger, etc. And I don't want to get too far into what that code looks like, but I'll just show it to you really quickly. I have it already open in SharePoint Designer here. If you ever open this up, it's in the item style XSL, which lives in the style library. So if you click this little thumbtack here under all files, you can scroll down to where style library is. You can open that up. You can open up XSL style sheets, and you can see there's an item style in there. And there's an entry in this for each one of those things in that dropdown. And so we added our own right about here. I think this is the one. Nope. It is this one right here, custom news rollup. And so I called it custom news rollup, and that's what's showing up in the thing. And so we don't want to get too much into it, but you can see here it's just got divs and CSS, and it's just putting in the content of the content query web part. And so if I switch back over to this guy here, you can see that once I've created that and saved it, I've got that as an option to pick from, and that's what's going to style it to look like this. And that's basically the big difference between how this one works over here. And so that XSLT is actually what makes it so that this looks sort of like this, where it's on the left with a big title, et cetera. And so you put all that together, and you've got HTML that passes in that URL string, and it filters. And if I take off the URL string, if I say I don't want to filter it at all, we just go back to the landing page, you can see here it shows everyone. And so that's just a page that it's got one web part. It can show different content based on something else that's calling it right there.
Yeah, and that's what it's definitely one of the things that we've been using a lot more in a lot of the practical WCM sites that we're creating for our clients. And it happens to be one of the reasons why we wanted to do this session is it's one of those things I think that a lot of people don't really see too much of, but it's a lot of value in it.
Here's where we get a little bit developer-y.
Get a little bit developer-y. So we've spent a lot of time talking about page layouts and what's possible and how to create really, really cool things that drive a lot of value with page layouts. But any discussion on page layouts would be incomplete if we didn't talk about deployment. And when we talk about deployment, deployments is generally the term that I would use to say, how do we get the files that we've created and customized onto the server? And that could be done in a few different ways. We can do that manually. We can manually upload them. We can use SharePoint Designer like
Which
Randy's
is what
using.
I just did. Just want to point out, I did all that in a local VM. You probably don't want to go to like your production site and just start editing things in SharePoint Designer. You may have a local dev environment or a virtual machine or something like that where you proof stuff out in SharePoint Designer, and then you maybe move on to something like what John's talking
yeah,
about
so
here.
So how you plan on doing your updates in the future is really going to determine which one of these methods make the most sense. So for smaller sites, and you all can define what you mean by smaller sites, things like, you know, the manual approach or SharePoint Designer work just fine. You know, they create what would be referred to as customized files, which makes it more difficult to update things at a large scale. So if you had a large environment with multiple site collections, this is going to present a challenge for you. But for those medium or large sites, the better approach to do that would be to use SharePoint Solutions, which have this file extension WSP. They're a delivery mechanism that allows you to deploy files via features, which deploys those, allows you to deploy page layouts and such in an uncustomized manner. So it allows you to essentially have that true one file. I update one file, and across all of the files in my farm that are pulling from the same file, they would all get updated. This is how the files out of the box in SharePoint are set up. They're in an uncustomized state, so you know if you were to at Microsoft wherever to need to make broad scale changes, that's how they do it. So you can kind of do the
same
thing.
Yeah, like when I picked that image on left article page layout, that was Microsoft added that via the same method he's talking about.
Yeah, so just a quick overview. I mean, you can pull this down, and if you're interested in getting more information about customized versus uncustomized files, there's lots of good information out on the web. But essentially, the difference between the two is for an uncustomized file, it's like how Microsoft did the out-of-the-box files. But the source of the file lives on the server file system, means it lives on in the 14 folder that SharePoint installs. So the source of the file lives there. So what you could do is if you could actually open up that file itself, and if you made changes directly on the server from that file, you know, immediately changes would show up across
your admin pressure. Would probably hit you with a stick if you do
yeah,
that.
So I'm not suggesting you do
don't
that.
Don't edit the files on the server.
But again, many files point toward the same single file. But from a customized perspective, the difference is that the source of the file actually resides in the content database, which means that when you go in and you modify things, whether uploading or through SharePoint Designer, changes to, say, a master page, for example, would exist in the site where you made the change. So it's more difficult if you go in with SharePoint Designer and you make a change just in one site, it's not going to appear everywhere.
Right.
So for larger environments, you're absolutely going to want to spend a little bit more time looking into how you can create uncustomized files. So again, this is something that if this is a new concept to you, I'm not going to go too detailed about this, but I want to point out a couple things. There are a couple metadata tags that get injected when you create page layouts with SharePoint Designer that cause the page to be customized whether or not no matter what method you choose. In order to ensure an uncustomized state, you need to make sure that these are removed, and I'll have a link that kind of talks about this in just a little bit. Also, if you're interested in doing something where you would possibly embed web parts or create a page layout that would have web parts existing, those can also potentially cause the page to show up in a customized state. So one thing that we do as a trick whenever we run into any of these types of situations is occasionally we'll create an event receiver that will loop through all of our files in the master page gallery and find any customized files and automatically reset them, and that seems to do the trick. So just, you know, kind of
something to watch out for if you get into doing this.
So when I'm not going to go through in great detail the whole process of deploying page layouts, but these would be the high level steps. Someone like Randy would create the page layout in SharePoint Designer. He would send those files over to me. And then from there, I would take those and I would open up Visual Studio and I would add the page layouts to Visual Studio.
So imagine everything I just created, I would take those and export them out of SharePoint Designer, and I would zip them up and I'd give them to John or whoever, and he's going to put them in Visual Studio.
So once we add them to Visual Studio, we have to make sure that they're deployed properly. And to do that, we have to update the appropriate elements.xml file, and there's a unique syntax that goes along with page layouts, where I'm going to show you that in just a second. So we have to make sure that that's all filled out and referenced properly. If there's any custom site columns like what Randy was doing, we have to make sure that those are available to us once it's deployed. And we can do that either programmatically, where we can, you know, programmatically make it so that whenever we activate our feature and deploy everything, that everything is created for us, or we can do it manually. And depending on what the scenario is, we've done both approaches. I don't think there's really anything wrong. It's going to be up to you. And then from there, again, you would deploy the WSP, activate the necessary features, and hopefully everything would work. If you are going through the process of doing this and you're going to deploy something with Visual Studio, this is an example of what the file tag for your elements file to deploy a page layout would look like. You can pull down the slides and copy the syntax exactly if you want. This is showing an example of what we would use if a page layout that's based on the welcome page. And I've highlighted the custom areas of this. So really the only areas that you'd have to change would be the file name, as well as the title. So you go ahead and change those things. And then down there in the associated content type tag, what this is doing is that when you activate this and when you deploy it, we need to make sure that the page layout gets associated with the proper content type. Because if we don't, it's actually not going to show up correctly in the drop-down that Randy was showing you from the ribbon. So you need to make sure that it's associated with, and in this case, welcome page. So to do that, you just simply update that area that I have highlighted in yellow. And then down here is the very long content type ID. And I'm going to show you.
It's a really nice ID. They really made a really long ID for these.
There's actually a method to, you know, to coming up with this, and I'm not really going to cover it. But if you're interested in doing this, you could copy this and use this exactly, except you can just change the name. This is sample for if you wanted to do a custom page layout that was based on the article page content type. So if you're thinking to yourself, you know, but what if I wanted to create my own content type, such as what kind of Randy was showing me? How would I track down the URL or the content type ID? The easiest way is to click on Site Actions, go to Site Settings, click on the Content Type Gallery, and then click on the content type that you'd created. If you look in the URL, it's listed up there at the top. So, I've highlighted.
Just copy and paste it right out of there.
You could copy and paste it directly into Individual Studio if you like. If you're good with PowerShell, you can also track it down that way. The way that I generally prefer is I use a toolkit called CKS Dev, which are extensions for Visual Studio. Awesome for a number of things beyond what I'm talking about right now, but please check it out. You can download them from the extension manager in Visual Studio. If you're doing this type of thing, you need both foundation and the server versions to make sure that you get the full experience. But all you'd have to do at that point is go open up Visual Studio, go to the server manager, and eventually browse to where your content type is, right-click on it, and just say copy ID, and it'll put it on your clipboard, and you can paste it directly into wherever you need it. So that's my personal preference. I know we've kind of gone through this deployment topic very quickly. There's a lot of information. We could probably do a couple sessions on it, but we only got a couple minutes. But here's a couple excellent resources. In particular, I will point out the creating a page layout in SharePoint 2010 using Visual Studio, which is done by SharePoint MVP Becky Bertram. That post talks about creating page layouts directly from Visual Studio and also has some information about the page directive. Also, a ton of great information in the comments there, so please check that out. To get more details about just deploying master pages and page layouts themselves, here's another link from MSDN from Bob German. Also, this goes into a lot more detail about the things that I've just kind of talked about at a very high level. And at the bottom there, we've got a link to the CKS Dev Extensions page. Definitely should check that out. That kind of brings us to the end of our presentation. This is a slide that our contact information, and we've got a picture of our book. So if you're looking to get more information on any of the things we've talked about.
We cover page layouts in detail and master pages in a lot more detail.
And please feel free to reach out to us at any point if you have any additional questions. We'd be glad to help. And we're also going to be out in the exhibit hall at the Rackspace booth, so please come by.
Come by, ask us questions. Stump John.
So
ask me easy questions. I don't like hard questions.
So thank you guys for coming, and please fill out your evaluations for this, and thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks.